Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
So as I mentioned earlier, the one thing that I've noticed is that when anybody is traveling or any Jews are traveling, the very first thing they do is if they, depending obviously where they're going, is they quickly go online and they try and find out if there is a Chabad there. And what I've also noticed is that it might be, whoever that is doesn't need to be Chabad. They don't need to be part of that community. They might not even be that closely associated with Orthodoxy, but somehow I've noticed that the Chabad communities around the world are one of the first stops that people make, or at least check out when traveling. The second thing that I've noticed is that because they are often situated because they're in regions all over the world, they have often transformed into makeshift humanitarian assistance facilities where people in the area might have suffered some form of a natural disaster, whatever it would be. So it's to me, it's an incredible thing that this network has grown so successfully and with such global acceptance. I wanted to understand a little bit more about how that was ever achieved. Joining us today is Rabbi Michael Katz. He's the spiritual leader of Chabad of Ilovo, he's director of activities at Chabad House. And no stranger to us here on this show, as well as Chai FM. Rabbi Michael Katz, good morning. Thank you for joining us.
Good morning, and good morning to all the listeners.
So it's a fascinating thing. Over how long has this developed, this global network?
You know, there was a fascinating, just as a startup story here, Howard, a fascinating little anecdote that was related by Rabbi Simon Jacobson about a woman who, as a child, lived in Brooklyn in Crown Heights, and she met the rabbi before he became rabbi, the Lubavitcher rabbi, and on her way to school or walking home from school, and he asked her what book she was reading. She said she likes to read. He said, "What are you reading?" And she said she was reading something written by Isaac Asimov on space stations and all sorts of interconnectivity between these space stations. And the rabbi said to her, "You know, I have such an idea for Judaism around the world that there'll be like a central space station and there'll be all these satellites all over the place, all out there in order to help Jews wherever they are and to help people and to lift up the world and to change humanity." Mm. So it seems to have been that it was a preordained or pre-thought about idea of the Rebbe himself that there should be this incredible network, that it should be located everywhere. As you said, the reason why people need to look for Chabad is because they know, or why they look for Chabad is because they know that there is Chabad around the world. It's in every far little nook and cranny throughout Africa, Australia, wherever you go. No matter where you travel, you can find something to do with Chabad there. And you know that you're going to be welcomed, and you know that you're going to feel at home, and you know that whatever your religious or Jewish persuasion is, you're going to be made to feel part of it. And this was inspired by the Rebbe and put into practice by the followers of the Rebbe around the world.
You know, it's also, it was, and I'm trying to think where it was. We spoke to one of the Chabad emissaries before Pesach, before Passover. I think it was in Thailand. And he was telling us, I mean, the numbers were staggering. You know, all the different centers were having something like 5,000 people for the Siddurim, for the first night and second night of Pesach. And what was interesting there is so many Israelis who were traveling to that region who in fact, you know, and we know in Israel there's this conflict between religious and non-religious, but somehow this just seemed to work and that everybody just goes there and without that political baggage. Do you think politics or the lack of politics in terms of Chabad, do you think that helps?
I'm sure it helps, and I think it was part of the plan of the Rebbe that Chabad should not be political, that we're not siding with any sides of a political spectrum, but rather that we're there for everybody. And to be there for everybody, you know, if you make somebody feel uncomfortable by your political stance, yes, Chabad is we're a religious organization. Yes, it's based on Torah and mitzvot and so on, and we have a more conservative outlook on things. But the Rebbe's view was that we've got to identify the spark of godliness within everybody and within everything, and our job is to take that spark of holiness, elevate it, make sure that it can come through, that it can shine. And the fact that it happens to be dressed in a certain way or look a certain way is really not our business. Our business is to find the holiness, the Kedusha, and bring that together. And therefore, politics gets in the way of those things. You know, the Rebbe was for everybody.
Yeah, it's just remarkable. The other thing that I always found fascinating is that I don't know what the number is, and I don't know if you know what the number is of how many how many of these satellites, as you've referred to them, yes, exist around the world. But somehow they all it's almost like a very strictly controlled franchise, which I know that obviously it doesn't function like a franchise, maybe it does. But it is remarkable that if you walk into a Chabad in Beijing or you walk into a Chabad in somewhere in South America, it's the same. It feels the same. How does it happen that this is carried through? Like, what is the spark that's carried through that makes it feel so identifiable and similar?
Listen, we have to say that it does border on the miraculous, because if we think about, so there are probably 5,000 to 6,000Chabad houses around the world, and Chabad establishments. Now, when we think about the fact that the Rebbe passed away in the early 90s, and since then, thousands of centers have been established. There was something that was above and beyond our sort of natural world thinking, where the Rebbe managed to, and through the understanding of what the Rebbe wanted, that you have young men and women going out to these far-flung places today who never saw the Rebbe, who were completely inspired just through the spirituality of it all. And it's certainly not franchised, but yet the theme that Chabad philosophy and Chabad thinking carried through from generation to generation was this idea of the fact that everybody counts, that everybody is important, that everybody is a part of God's plan, and that our work here is to make the world a better place and prepare the world for Mashiach. And the only way that can happen is if we're there for everybody. And so you referenced right in the beginning the idea of getting involved and being there when there's like a humanitarian crisis and so on. That every Chabad shliach around the world sees that as part of his job. It's part of what we have to do, and to do it all with love.
And the way we know that is so successful is that whenever there is something like this happening around the world, the very first thing we do here at Chai is we reach out to the local Chabad, because we know that they're going to be in the center of it and assisting people on the ground. It's not just people who are reporting on it. They become very much part of it. The what also is a fascination is how it differs, because obviously your culture in South America is different to Asia, is different to somewhere in Texas. So there has to be quite a lot of, and I'm not sure if it's adaptability or just acceptance, which is how does it work that it functions in such vastly different cultures.
There was a famous Rabbi Posner who many years ago wrote a book that he first titled Speak English but Think Jewish. That was the title of his book. And right, the Rebbe took out the first part. The Rebbe scratched out when he sent it in for the Rebbe's approval. The Rebbe said, don't say speak English but think Jewish. He just said, call it think Jewish. And maybe that's part of the answer. It's that there's a common, you know, our thought, our headspace. We're coming up to Rosh Hashanah, and Rosh Hashanah is all about the head. Our headspace is the same, and therefore the language you speak or the culture around you or the way that people behave in the in that particular country or that particular place is very much secondary to the think Jewish, the fact that your first thought has to be a Torah thought. What would Torah say about this? What would what's the mitzvah way of doing this? What is the Jewish reaction really to such an event or a crisis or a happening around us? And therefore, if we have that commonality of thinking Jewish, I think that's what inspires it and that's what makes it the same.
Absolutely amazing. That is where we leave it. We just wanted insight, and you have provided it. Greatly appreciated, Rabbi Michael Katz, joining us to talk about this bordering on miraculous, or maybe miraculous, concept of Chabad communities, over 5,000 of them around the world, each facing unique challenges, but somehow it just works.